Thankful to God to be able to be here to worship Him this evening. If you remember last Sunday evening, we studied a lesson on what we could learn from the early worshipers of Cain and Abel. I want us to consider another pair of brothers, Nadab and Abihu. Last week, Cain, you remember, his offering was unacceptable to God, and Abel's was accepted, we see, by faith. He offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. The brothers that we're looking at this evening in Leviticus chapter 10, neither one of them pleased the Lord in what they offered to Him. So we're going to the book of Leviticus. I'm afraid that sometimes people just quickly read through Leviticus, in fact, start scanning through it and just finish it up and move on. But we need to realize that there is a reason that we have this in the Bible, and it was an integral part of the law of Moses. In fact, from what I understand, it was the first book that was taught to the children of the Israelites. And there's a good reason for that. Leviticus is about a holy relationship with God. From the sacrifices to the garments and the functions of the priesthood, to the various feasts, to the laws that were governing morality, to the dietary laws, to the laws of cleanliness, there's a powerful lesson in these things. And that is, as God's people, God wants us to be different from the world. He wants us to be set apart, to be sanctified. But in the midst of all of these writings in Leviticus, other than the consecration and beginning of the priesthood of Aaron and his sons, there is a single event of history that's recorded. And that's in our text this evening. First of all, I want you to kind of consider a background. Who were Nadab and Abihu? Well, they were two of the four sons of Aaron. Together, they were to be the priesthood of Israel, Aaron and his four sons. And this was by appointment of God. And up to this point, in both Exodus and Leviticus, we see that they are chosen and they are given very specific plans for the tabernacle, their garments, and their work. I want you to notice in Leviticus chapter 8 and 9 that the priesthood of Aaron, he and his four sons, were consecrated. In chapter 8, we see that it talks about the sacrifices for 8 days that were made. And then in chapter 9, it records the eighth day when the priesthood began serving. And another sin offering is to be made to purify themselves. And then sacrifices were to be prepared for the people. I want you to consider Leviticus chapter 9, verses 23 and 24, what it says. Here, Leviticus 9, look at verses 23 and 24. It's quite an interesting scene. The people were blessed. It says, "Then the glory of the Lord appeared to all the people, and fire came out from before the Lord and consumed the burnt offering and the fat of the altar." So here, they were making sacrifices on the eighth day, to finish the consecration of the priesthood, and then to prepare sacrifices for the people. And they make the sacrifices, and God consumed the burnt offering and the fat on the altar. And notice the response of the people. When all the people saw it, they shouted and fell on their faces. We read oftentimes in the Old Testament when God was pleased with a sacrifice that was made upon the altar. Fire would come down from heaven and consume that offering. Consume it. Just a few that I want to mention as an example of these. In Gideon, his offering in Judges chapter 6 and verse 21, He offered meat and unleavened bread to the angel of the Lord, and fire flared up from the rock, completely consuming the offering. That was showing that it was approved of God. In 1 Chronicles chapter 21 and verse 26, David, on his altar, you remember he had purchased the threshing floor and offered a burnt offering and peace offering to end a plague. And he called upon the Lord, and God shows his approval of this sacrifice by sending a fire from heaven and consuming the sacrifice. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 1, when the temple was being dedicated that Solomon had built, a sacrifice was made and fire came down and consumed the offering and the sacrifices. Again, showing God's approval of what they were doing. Elijah, we see in 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 38, and I'm sure you know that account very well. He built an altar, and it was to go against the false prophets of Baal, the 450 prophets, and the challenge was made, and we see when it came to Jehovah God to prove that he was the one true and living God, that he consumed the sacrifice upon that altar, showing who he was, showing his approval of what Elijah, his prophet, was doing. So, in Leviticus chapter 9, when God sent fire down to consume that offering, he was showing his approval. So everything that had been done up to this point, I believe we are to understand that it pleased the Lord in what they had done. But let's move on. When we get to Leviticus chapter 10 and verse 1, we read about Nadab and Abihu that then Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, each took his censer and put fire in it, put incense on it, and offered profane fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them. He had not commanded them. And then, what is God's response to that? So fire went out from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. So what we looked at earlier, when God was pleased with the sacrifice, fire came down and consumed the offering. When he is displeased with the sacrifice, fire comes down and devours the ones making the sacrifice, the worshipers. This is a monumental event, I believe, that we see here in Scripture. Nadab and Abihu, the record tells us that they offered profane fire. The word profane there means unauthorized, unexpected, not what's been instructed. The New American Standard Bible renders the word strange. Whatever this fire was, it was not what God had instructed. It was not what he wanted. It did not please him. It was something the Lord had not commanded. They did not have authority for it. Thus, the fire went out from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord, it tells us there in Leviticus chapter 10 and verse 2. Look at verse 3. Following this, Yahweh declared through Moses, "By those who come near me, I must be regarded as holy, and before all the people, I must be glorified." Verses 6 and 7, Aaron and his sons were not permitted to mourn at this time because their job of consecrating the people had not been completed. That task had not been finished. In verses 4 and 5, after the death of these two men, Nadab and Abihu, the relatives were told to carry their bodies from before the sanctuary to some place outside the camp. They carried them by their tunics as they were instructed to do. So I ask you, why were they struck dead? The specific reason, I don't believe, is really given in the text, but some things I believe it very well could be the reason why they were struck dead, why the Lord brought down judgment upon them, why they died immediately after they offered this profane offering, sacrifice to God. The first thing, it could be that the fire was from an unauthorized source. And I think this would fit the text very well with the terms profane or strange fire. At some point, they had been given specific instructions about the fire for their censers, those fire pans that they used. And it was to come, where it was to come from, and specifics about that. And if you listen to the reading from Exodus chapter 30 and verse 9, we see there that you shall not offer strange incense on it, or a burnt offering, or a grain offering, nor shall you pour a drink offering on it. So it could have been that they got this fire from a strange place, an unauthorized place, and that fits the text very well. But it could be that they did not offer it in the prescribed manner that God had given, that God had said. God tells us how we're to worship, and we need to pay attention to that. And it needs to be exactly as He says, following His instructions. And people may say, well, you're just being nitpicky over there at West May. I think God is showing us that we are to worship Him in the way that He has instructed or prescribed us to worship Him. But also, it could be that they were just not reverent to God. It could be that they were showing irreverence to God as they approached Him. We serve a holy God. And when we come together to worship God, it's important that we do so with reverence. I remember something that Brother Joey told me years ago when I was here before, and it's just stuck with me, and it's a good point. He said, Steve, why is it that when we pray, everybody seems very reverent, quiet, still, don't move, listen, but yet when we read Scripture, people are coming out, not paying attention to it? He said, aren't both important? Shouldn't we be reverent in both of those things? And that's just stuck with me. That is so true. And I think sometimes we don't give enough regard from just reading the Word of God and how we are to show reverence and pay attention to what is being read. It could be that Nadab and Abihu were just approaching this without showing reverence to God. In fact, if you look at verses 9 and 10 of our text in Leviticus chapter 10, look at verses 9 and 10. It could have been that they were drunk. Look at what it says. Do not drink wine or intoxicating drink, you nor your sons with you, when you go into the tabernacle of meeting, lest you die. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations, that you may distinguish between holy and unholy, and between unclean and clean. What does intoxicating things do to our minds, to our actions, to our behavior? It makes it hard for us to distinguish things. And we certainly know that it would be difficult to reverence God as we should in this condition. And it could be that, all of these things had something to do with the reason that their offering to God was not pleasing to Him, and because fire came down from God and devoured them, and they died before Him. It could be all of these things. It could be one, it could be two, it could be all three. But these are things I want us to consider. What we are told in the Scripture is that the fire was profane, and we know that God was not pleased with it. And the action was intended, and it makes a strong point, a strong message for us. God's action was intended to send this strong message to all of Israel and to us today. How we worship God matters. Some lessons that I want us to consider from these early worshipers. Three, very quickly. It's a lesson about authority. God has authority, and we need to respect that. God means what He says, and He has the authority to command us what to do and instruct us on how to worship Him. We need to respect His authority. So many problems that we see in our world today come from a lack of respect for authority. We better not be that way for sure when it comes to God and our attitude towards Him. That we respect Him and we acknowledge that He is the one to instruct us upon how to worship Him. And we need to stick with the New Testament pattern of worship that God has given to us. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17, do all things in the name of the Lord. That's by His authority. You remember after the death and resurrection of Jesus, before His ascension, when He gave His great commission in the last chapter of Matthew, Matthew chapter 28, He said that all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. God has made Him the head of the church. We need to do everything in His name. That means by His authority. We need to pay attention to what He has instructed us to do. And when people ask us, when we come to worship, why we don't have instrumental music in worship like so many other groups, it's because it's not authorized. They were singing, making melody in their heart, teaching and admonishing one another, songs, hymns, spiritual songs, with grace in their heart to God. That's what we're authorized to do. And that's what we need to stick with. And we need to do those things that He has authorized, the way that He is authorized to do them. And we need to respect His silence. When God gives specific instructions, what does that say about everything else? Don't do it. Don't do anything else. Stick with what He says. Respect His silence. When God gives specific instructions, that excludes everything else. Let's not be guilty here of offering unauthorized worship to God. He will not be pleased with it. But number two, another lesson for us from these early worshipers. And this goes hand in hand with the last point, that we must worship God on His terms. Clearly, the occasion there in Leviticus chapter 10 of the death of Nadab and Abihu was associated with the way that they were worshiping God, and they did not worship God His way. And in whatever they transgressed, we looked at those three possibilities. They were not following the instructions. They were not using the pattern that He had given to them. And God expects us to follow His pattern of worship today. We continually emphasize that when we come together to worship God, our minds are centered on Him and His greatness. He comes first in our thoughts. And when we worship Him, if we're going to do it properly, we are also edifying our brothers and sisters in Christ. But in John chapter 4, verse 24, and we emphasize this a lot, and we pray about this a lot, and I appreciate that, that God will accept those who worship Him in spirit and in truth. It's important to God. And we need to make that our goal every time that we come to worship Him, that we are doing so in spirit and in truth. But finally, this evening, holiness in our lives is important to God. Do we really think that we can live in sin, giving into temptation, and somehow walking these doors and offer worship to God that is acceptable to Him and He'll be pleased with it? I mean, following the pattern, doing exactly what He says, and even engaging our hearts while we're here worshiping Him. But because of the way that we're living day in and day out in our lives, unholy lives, ungodly lives, we're not going to please Him. And we need to understand that. That's not to say we're perfect. That's not to say we're sinless. If we're walking in the light, as Jesus is the light, then we will have that continual forgiveness. But Isaiah chapter 1, and I mentioned this briefly last week, in Isaiah chapter 1, we see this very plainly. In this opening chapter of this major prophet Isaiah, we see that the people were worshiping God exactly like He had instructed. They were offering the sacrifices. They were offering the burnt offerings of rams, it says in verse 11, and the fat of the fed cattle. But God was not pleased with it. He says in verse 11 there at the end of it, "I do not delight in the blood of bulls or of lambs or goats. When you come to appear before me, who has required this from your hand to trample my courts? Bring no more futile sacrifices. Incense is an abomination to me. The new moons, the Sabbaths, and the calling of assemblies, I cannot endure iniquity and the sacred meetings. Your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hates. They are a trouble to me. I am weary of bearing them. When you spread out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood." Here's the remedy. Here's how they can offer pleasing sacrifice to God. Verse 16, "Wash yourselves, make yourselves clean, put away the evil from your doings and before my eyes. Cease to do evil, learn to do good, seek justice, rebuke the oppressor, defend the fatherless, plead for the widow. Come now, and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat of the good of the land." God has told them to observe these feasts, these new moons, the Sabbath, to make these sacrifices, and they're doing it, but it's not pleasing to Him. It's making Him sick because their lives are full of sin. It's important for us to live holy lives, righteous lives before God, so that we can bring our offerings to Him to be found acceptable and pleasing to Him. If you remember, Moses said to Aaron, "This is what the Lord spoke, say, by those who come near to me, I must be regarded as holy, and before all the people, I must be glorified." And it says, so Aaron held his peace. And that's in Leviticus 10 and verse 3. We need to give serious consideration of living holy lives and how important that is if our worship is going to be pleasing to God. Wouldn't it be a terrible thing if we made it a priority to worship God throughout so much of our life and never pleased Him in our worship? Failed attempts to please Him time and time again. Don't make the same mistakes that these early worshipers made. Let's recognize God's authority. Let's worship Him on His terms and His terms alone. And let's live holy and righteous lives so that we can be found pleasing to Him and one day hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Thus, we have some lessons from Nadab and Abihu. They were a part of the priesthood, and that priesthood has been fulfilled and replaced by a much greater priesthood, that of Jesus. The book of Hebrews talks about that. And while we're not under the law of Moses anymore, we can still learn lessons. And those things that were written aforetime were written for our learning. Romans chapter 15 and verse 4 tell us God's character has not changed. And this is a fundamental truth that we need to learn, even though it's in the old law, how we can worship God acceptably today. If you're not a child of God, you're missing out on the privilege of worshiping God. Won't you think about what the Bible says in Acts chapter 2, those on the day of Pentecost ask Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what do we need to do?" And Peter says in verse 38 that, "Let every one of you be baptized, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Those that gladly received that word were baptized, and the Lord added them to the church. And look at the activities there at the end of Acts 2 that the church was involved in. They were worshiping God together. It's an important part of our life as a child of God to worship God. It's indeed a blessing, and I urge you to think about these things. Think about the Lord's invitation. If you need to respond this evening, please come while together we stand and sing.